God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but I've been with you now here for 20 years. Can you believe that? I was ordained here August 7th, 2005. So we've been traveling, journeying this road of the Christian road for 20 years. Brothers and sisters together is 2 decades, and that's amazing. That's great. I'm so thankful. When we're still going strong after 20 years, you're still here with me, I'm still here with you, and we're journeying to our home together above. So I'd like to talk with you then today for a few moments about the Christian's journey overall, and then our journey together specifically over these last 20 years. And ask, are we Christians really on a journey? Actually, in truth, with Jesus through this world? From where have we come? Where are we going? And through what are we traveling? What do we have to face on this journey? What is facing and coming against us? What is for us on this journey? And what is our hope of attaining the end of our journey? And what awaits us at the finish line when we cross it? Let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us by His word about the Christian's journey, and then ours also, especially together, specifically. So, first of all, first question is, are we Christians truly on a journey with God through this world that other people are not on? What do you think? Well, actually, most people in this world are not on the journey that we're on. They are actually drifting through this world. They're born into this world. They go through this world, living for this world only, this life only. And they're going to one day die and depart this world. And that's the journey of the unbeliever, namely that they're living for this world alone, this life only, is the journey of the unbeliever. How about Christians? Not so the Christian. Why? Because God has called us out of the world, from the great mass of unbelievers to be His own, to journey with Him through this world to a better place, a greater country, an ultimate destination, His kingdom above and the worlds to come. So are we Christians on a journey? Say amen.
Amen.
This is God's journey that we're traveling, you and me together, as His people. And we can even see a picture of that in the Old Testament pictured for us, can't we? God always calls His people out to journeys. Look at, for example, Genesis 12 with Abraham. God said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you." And so Abraham went as the Lord told him, and he came to Canaan. Right, so Abraham was called out by God for a journey to a land that he was promised. That's a picture, a small model or preview of our journey, the greater true one of the Christian, modeled for us by Abraham. You also have Abraham's children, right? The people of Israel, they had the same thing. They were called out by God to a journey from where to where?
Egypt.
From the house of bondage and slavery, chains in Egypt, and God told Moses, "I've seen their affliction, I've heard their sufferings, I know their cries because of their taskmasters, and I've come down to deliver them out of that land and to bring them up to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So God called Israel, His people, to a journey from one place to another. Has God called us to a journey?
Yes.
Yes, to an even greater one, friends, in Jesus Christ. From here to there. You know, you ever read Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit? When Bilbo Baggins gets back from his incredible journey, he wrote, "I'm going to title it From to There and Back Again." Remember? That's not the Christian's journey. Ours is from here to there. We're going somewhere in a straight line upwards. Let's talk about that. Because Jesus says, if you were of the world would love you, love its own. But because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you, follow me. He calls us out of the world, like He called Abraham, to follow Him on a journey to a greater destination, a better country, his kingdom. So from where have we come? Where are we going and through what? Well, he called us out from the world of sin, the great mass of humanity who are still living in unbelief and darkness, the devil's kingdom, and from the power of death. Out of that I call you, Jesus says. Come and follow me as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to bring you through this world and this life to the world to come. Heaven, my home, and then at my final coming to the kingdom of the world to come, the new heavens and the earth, a better country. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that all the saints are exiles, they're strangers, they're pilgrims on earth. They have a better country, a homeland, and that's why God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for you a city. Is there a city in your future?
Yes.
Is there a city that we're actually truly traveling to at the journey's end of a Christian? Yes, and it's the best journey of all, and it's the truth. So we are on a journey, but now let's consider, what is that journey like? What are we traveling through, and what is the Christian's journey? Well, I think there's no better book that describes it than my second favorite book in the world. Bible's number one, but I love Pilgrim's Progress as number two. This is the story of a Christian who is traveling, and actually the title of the book is A Christian's Journey from This World to That Which Is to Come. It's our journey. You should read it if you haven't already. I'm sure most of you have. But what is the story of the man in this book? We meet a man in here called Graceless, who is not under God's grace, but under his wrath. Isn't that our journey as well? We all started as sinners, fallen creatures, under the wrath, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. We were all by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were separated from Christ, says Paul, alienated from the commonwealth of the wealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, and having no hope without God in the world. And Christian, or Graceless in the book, the lead character, learns when he comes in contact with a book, the Bible, that he's living in a city whose name is the City of Destruction. He says, this city I'm living in is destined and doomed to be burned in fire and destroyed. And he fears because he has a great weight on his back of his sins, which this book tells him about, and he wants to get rid of it and flee the city, but he knows not where. Is that our story and journey we're traveling together as a congregation too? We all have unique stories how we came to Christ, but we all started as sinners, under God's wrath, in a city of destruction, this world. Do you know that this world is going to be destroyed? The Bible is very clear about it. 2 Peter 3, Peter says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements, the earth, will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. So we better get out of Dodge, because this place is destined and doomed to be burned with God's fire. So what did Graceless do in this story? I'm a sinner, I have a load of sins on my back, which will sink me lower than the grave if I come to judgment day. They'll sink me deeper than the oceans. I'll drown, I'll die. Well, he's wondering what to happen, and a man appears in his life called Evangelist. And he says and counsels Graceless, flee the wrath to come. That's the word of the law. Flee from the judgment of God that's coming. To where, cries Graceless. Evangelist says, run for yonder light. Run for the narrow gate and to the cross on a hill somewhat ascended. So, is that our story too? Did an evangelist come to you in your life sometime? I mean, we all have individual stories, unique but the same. An evangelist spoke to us the words of Jesus, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Run for it, for that straight and narrow gate. Who is the door?
Jesus.
Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So run for Jesus, run for the narrow gate, run for the straight gate that you may enter, is the cry to Graceless from Evangelists, and so ours. So what happened to Graceless? What did he do? He ran for it with all his might to get there. And did he make it? Yeah, he made it through the narrow gates and to the cross. And when he came up to that hill, someone ascending with his pack of sins on his back, he knelt and repented of his sins, called out on Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And what happened to his pack of sins? The load he was carrying. They fell off his back, rolled down the steep hill into the sepulcher of Christ, where he had risen from the grave, never to be seen again. Is that our journey too as Christians? Me with you, you with me? An evangelist has come, and we do this every week. We come to the cross, our sins roll off our back, we're saved, and we are set free. For God so loved the world, friends, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And ever after, Graceless is called Christian for the rest of his journey. Christian. And that's what we are. You know, the old's passed away. If you're in Christ, the new has come. You're new creatures. And then Jesus says, come now, follow me. We're going somewhere on a journey to a greater place, a greater country, my home above, and the kingdom to come. So we're on that journey together to the celestial city, as it says in the book, the place of joy everlasting. So that's the journey, but where, through what are we traveling? If you read the book, we're traveling through a great wilderness with certain towns and villages in them, with many traps and snares, byways and enemies. But we must travel the straight road of Christ all the way to the city of God. That's our journey too, amen? Once you get saved, what are you traveling through? This world, the rest of your life, which is filled with enemies. This is enemy territory we're traveling through. Traps, schemes, pitfalls, hobgoblins, evil spirits, troubles, tribulations of every kind beset us. So the Christian life and the Christian journey is not rosy cheeks and a happy, beautiful, sunshiny day. Sometimes it is, but it's desolate and bleak as well. Paul says, through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom. But our call is, Jesus says, follow me every step of the way. The straight path, the narrow path. Be like a soldier on the march, following your king. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand, Ephesians chapter 6 says. So is that us? We are marching to Zion. We are God's company. We are a troop. You are soldiers in Christ through enemy territory. But we got to stay alert on this journey, as we have. For it is possible to depart Christ and to be derailed from the journey of the Christian and fall back into the old world. Jesus says, take heed that no one leads you astray. See to it that no one derails you to turn aside, for many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and then it will lead many astray. Few there be who find the path and enter the city by the gates. You were once estranged and hostile to God, but now you've been reconciled, says Paul, provided you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, says Paul. So we have need of endurance. Run the straight race, as indeed you have with me. For these last 20 years, we're still on the road. We're still going straight forward. We're still in Jesus. So I would say to you, great job. Praise God we're still here and going forward with joy. What did Christian meet with on the book through this wilderness on the way to the celestial city? Well, he met a slough of despond. Remember that? A miry bog into which he fell on the journey there. That is a swamp, basically, where your feet are stuck in the mud and you begin to sink as in quicksand, and you start to forget all of God's promises, and temptation is to turn back to the city of destruction. Have we faced that too? Have you faced that? Boy. Times in your life when God's promises seem hard to recall to mind and despair overwhelms you. Well, through these, we've all faced that these 20 years. God keeps saving you. How does he do it? In the book, hope comes and lifts Christian out of the swamp. And so hope has lifted us. The hope of God in Christ in the scriptures reminded to us every week and every day. Then he meets, along the path, Mr. Worldly Wiseman. What did Mr. Worldly Wiseman want to teach Christian? Oh, why are you going this route? The Christian life is hard. No, go the route of the law. Save yourself by justifying yourself before God by your works. Keep God's law. Your own goodness and your own merit will save you, says Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Well, Christian starts to listen until he meets a huge mountain with fire, Mount Sinai, and the thunder and wrath of God scares him. And he hears, by works of the law shall no man be justified. Galatians chapter 2. So he's driven by evangelists back to the gospel, which we hold every week. Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing, it's the free gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. Then what does Christian meet? He meets with the city of Vanity Fair. Is that the world? Amen. What is Vanity Fair? It's a big festival set up by the devil for pilgrims on their way to the celestial city to allure them with all the temptations of the pleasures and fancies of this life. Turn aside from the path. Go back after the world. Enjoy and live for this world and this world alone. How does Christian and his friend escape those? That city. They say from Proverbs, we buy the truth only, this word. And so we Christians also have to do that, don't we? Mm-hmm. These 20 years, I mean, I feel it every week. Go back after the world, enjoy the pleasures of this life, live for your treasure here. But God's word calls me upward and onward, saying, no, the treasure in heaven, that one has no moth, rust, or thief to break in and steal. Go after that one, not this world. That's what we've been doing these last 20 years. Good job again, Christ Lutheran. He met with false preachers next, like the flatterer. And we've sure studied a lot of false preachers here at this church. We've studied them for 20 years. Discerned them and said, no, I'm not having anything to do with you. Jesus and his word alone is the truth, and you've kept to him and escaped the flatterer. But sometimes we have sinned over these 20 years. Anybody not sinned in 20 years? Yeah, we all stray. And so at times we fall like Christian and his friend. They departed the path into a byway, over the hedge, because it was easier. And they fell capture to giant despair, who threw him in his fortress, doubting castle, where they wanted to commit suicide. It was so terrible in their depression. Have you guys strayed from Christ as well? Well, we all have at times. That's why every church service, we confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, God's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and set us on the road again. So God has done that for you. Good job. Every time we have strayed, we get right back on the path by his grace. Then they pass through something called the enchanted forest, a dense wood where the very air would make you fall asleep. Do you sometimes want to do that? Hit the snooze button, not come to church? Not listen to the word? Go back after the world? Yeah, I can even feel that sometimes as well. And I'm a preacher. But Jesus' word was, stay awake, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming, in evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, keep awake, says the Lord Jesus. Mark 13. Have you kept awake? How do you keep awake? Well, we come to church, right? What am I doing up here every Sunday? I'm throwing water on your face. And you in the Bible studies throw water on my face. We engage in godly conversation. Wake each other up so that we can make it all the way. Christian then had to face Apollyon, which his name means destroyer, that foul fiend from the pits of hell. Exactly, a black-winged beast. A dragon. The devil himself came against Christian in the book to withstand him in the king's highway. How did Christian defeat Apollyon? He had to bear his divine armor, his shield of faith, especially his sword of truth, and attack the word of God with all prayer. And Jesus put him down. And you also have withstood evil spirits, the devil himself standing against you, to turn you aside from Christ, and you've conquered him. Christ Lutheran, how so? By the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, with all prayer, he is an enemy defeated before you and tread under your feet by God's power within you. But then Christian had to come to the last obstacle of all, the fiercest he ever met. Which was it? Rushing, raging river called death. None of us in this church have passed through that river yet, but we've known many of our own company and troop who have. My dad, last year in April, I helped them cross that river with Dana and my sister Karen and Mom to cross the river death. It was a raging river, and it was a tough 5-7 days, him crossing the river. But I saw him, I believe, in my mind's eye, and I know he came across confessing Christ and came out alive on the shores the other side, rejoicing. He's now with God in heaven. You know, we all need to help each other crossing this river. That's the one we are also going to cross soon. But it's the promises of God in the river that made Christian find his footing again after feeling like he was sinking, and then finding his footing in God's word, he walked across the rest as if on dry ground and came into the arms of Jesus on the other side. You're going to do the same, friends. That's why we're here. That's why I gave you a preacher to give you these words of encouragement. And we're going to help each other across the river of death. As we've helped many before, we too will cross one day. And we're going to cross through rejoicing. Because God, who began a good work in you, okay, he has promised to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid of it. God will lead you. And where is he leading us once we cross the river of death? Up the mountain to the gates of the celestial city, his home. The God who made this world has a throne, and that's where we're heading, friends. That's where our journey ends, at the king's castle. And there to await Christ to return again and give us what Peter says is a new heavens, a new earth which God is going to create, in which is only a righteousness and its joy there everlasting. So, are you excited about this journey?
Absolutely.
You are doing great, I do believe. How are we doing? Well, let me just say this. I think for the last 20 years on this journey, I with you, you with me, we've been doing really well. We're still alive, we're still alert, we're still awake in Jesus, and we're going forward as soldiers. And you know, the best part of this journey, I believe, is, well, one of the best parts is we don't go it alone. You don't have to face these things alone. God has given us a troop, a company, a bright, cheerful set of friends, an affectionate family like Christ Lutheran, to help each other journey there together. And that's the beautiful part. You have done that. When I was in seminary and praying for a church, you know what I prayed to God for is my little secret prayer? I said, God, you remember that story at Christmas of Rudolph? Of course, God remembers. He doesn't like the story necessarily, but there was an island there called the Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh. Well, none of the toys fit in anywhere else, but here on this island, we all fit in.
I was like, God, give me a church like that, of misfits, crazy people that don't fit in the world. We're one here. We can all be together as an affectionate family and love each other and help each other.
You got one.
Now, you guys are cool. Kevin is cool. You're all cool. But we're all misfits in the world, ultimately. But here we find a home where we encourage each other. We don't have to go through these things alone. God wants us to go together. Like Christian in the book had hopeful and faithful friends. You're helping each other all the way there. And I just say, A+, great job, Christ Lutheran. You're doing great. You have kept to Jesus Christ and to his word all the way, which means it's made it easy for me to pastor you. You know, you've kept to the anchor, which is the word, when you know what? The last 20 years, most of the Christian churches in the world, a lot of them, have departed and they are shipwrecked on the reef and on the rocks. I mean, when I came here in 2005, the ELCA Lutherans, from which I came originally, still believed there was one man, one woman, one lifetime for marriage. In 2009, they said, no more of that. And then now they have a man who thinks he's a woman as one of their bishops, and their Sparkle Creed is, I believe in a non-binary God who proclaims, whose pronouns are plural.
Really?
In Jesus Christ, their child, who has a fabulous tunic and two dads. And I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters the image of our white light, of one light, white light, and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity.
Wow.
You know what that is? That is shipwreck. They've departed this. But I'm not saying that to poke fun at them, but to cry over it and say, thanks be to God that you are holding fast the truth these 20 years, and I've not departed from it. The anchor is Scripture cannot be broken, Jesus says. All Scripture is inspired by God, says Paul. And men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, says Peter. And you know how many sermons I preached to you? About over 1,200 times I've stood in this pulpit to preach to you the Word of God. About 2,500 Bible studies plus over 20 years. I've encouraged you, but I want to say you have also encouraged me like iron sharpens iron. Thank you so much. You are an easy church to pastor. You love His Word. Great job, Christ Lutheran. So great job. You know, sometimes it's bright and cheery for our lives. Other times our lives really are desolate and bleak. Paul says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. But you're there to help each other, to be a shoulder to cry on. You're gentle, you're kind, you're of good cheer. That's what I love about you. You've helped each other through all these changes in the world that we've faced. When I came here, the world, America was still more or less conservative. Then it went nuts since I've been here. I don't know, hopefully not having anything to do with me. But we've had the deep state. Liberal nut jobs just got uglier, uglier, more and more aggressive to the point they were saying men get pregnant. Did I think I'd have to preach that men can't get pregnant when I graduated seminary, that there are only two genders? And yet, these same people in 2020 pulled their COVID scheme and tried to destroy and enslave the world and seize all power like Nazi Germany. But I want to say, well, let's say this. A new conservative age is rising. They failed miserably. They're really not very smart people. Praise God. And good things and better times are coming. But through all that, it only proved to me, since you were so cool through it all, eyes on Jesus, loving one another, that nothing and no one can ever stop a Christian.
Amen.
And nothing and no one can ever stop you. You are more than conquerors through Him who loved you. And that's why it's so easy to pastor you, because you are so faithful, good, true, and loving. I praise God for this congregation. And we are headed on this journey to the journey's end. We're going to the finish line all the way. God will keep us to the ultimate promised land, the land where there is joy everlasting in the worlds to come. Why am I certain that we're going to get there? It's because ultimately it's not our journey that saves us, but God's journey to us. He loves you so much, Christ Lutheran, and He came down from heaven. That's His journey. He journeyed to the cross, to the grave, into death. His journey up from the grave, ascended to the throne of God. His journey is coming back to save you. You right now are being guarded by God's, by faith, by God the Father for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hands. I and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit guards you, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We're going to get there. And when we get there, we're going to all rejoice together and say, we went through that journey together, and here we are. And God promises you, Isaiah 33, your eyes will see the King in His beauty. They will behold a land that stretches afar. Just picture it. That's where we're heading. The new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, says Peter, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For that kingdom we hope, and for that better country we run. So good job, and let's press on then toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.